I am Grandpa, and I love you.
I'm Grandma, and I love you too.
Welcome to our podcast, Grandpa and Grandma Bedtime Stories.
We share some stories that will make you laugh.
We share stories that might make you cry.
And we share stories that will give you courage to choose the right.
And these bedtime stories will help you to dream sweet dreams.
So get on your pajamas and say your prayers.
Turn out the light and hear our story tonight. Good morning. This is Grandpa Edward Jeffrey Hill, and tonight's bedtime story is about friendship and how important it is to be a good friend. A good friend will be with you when you are happy, when you are sad, even when you are mad, and especially when you are glad. A good friend will have your back in the hard times, and you can have your friend's back in the hard times as well. Tonight, we will continue the saga of our church basketball team during the 1970-1971 season and our run-up to the all-church basketball tournament. Do you know what the word saga means? It means a long story of heroic achievement. I don't think Grandma will like the long story part. She likes short stories. However, Grandma and I are different in that way. I like long stories, and she likes short stories. When you are married, it's okay to be different from one another. But I think both of us would like the heroic achievement part of that definition. The Tacoma Seventh Ward Church basketball team of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints started practicing in the second week of September 1970. You'll remember that the coach of this team, Coach Don, was a paraplegic. Even though he couldn't walk, he couldn't even move his legs, he was a great coach. We practiced for 90 minutes on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the afternoon, and for 2 hours on Wednesday evening during YMMIA. Coach Don said the first thing we had to do was to get into shape. He told us, if you are in good shape, you will be ahead of 90% of the church basketball teams. So he ran us hard. Let me say that again. He ran us hard. And I mean it. He ran us so hard. He would have us run those despised ladders. When you run a ladder in basketball, it does not mean you run up a ladder from the floor to the ceiling. What it does mean is that you line up on the baseline at one end of the gym. The baseline is the out-of-bounds line that's underneath the basket. When the coach blows his whistle, you run to the first free throw line and back as fast as you can. And then without resting, you run to the half-court line and back. And then without resting, you run to the far free throw line and back. And then without resting, and even though your lungs are burning, you run to the far baseline and back as fast as you can. And then you fall over and die. No, just kidding. You just feel like you're going to fall over and die. We did not like running ladders. But Coach Don swore that it would get us into good shape. And he actually swore that it would get us into good shape, if you know what I mean. Phew, just thinking about those ladders gives me PTSD. Those despised ladders were not the only detested getting in shape exercises that Coach Don would have us do. He had us do interval training. We would run around the gym as fast as we could, and then walk once around, and then run as fast as we could again. That may sound easy, but after 10 minutes, it was very hard. The most fun conditioning exercise was when we would do fast break drills. Three of us would be at one end of the gym, and two others would be at half court. Coach Don would shoot at the basket, and one of the three would rebound. Then we would try to make an easy basket by passing in a weave pattern against the two who were defending. In all these exercises, Coach Don would yell at us to go harder, harder, harder. If he ever caught us slacking, we would have to do 10 push-ups while the whole team counted. In the first month of practice, we hardly ever played games of basketball, except before practice, if we got there before Coach Don, or after practice, after he left. But after practice, we were usually too tired to play. During practice, we would only do conditioning and then fundamentals. Coach Don would say we had to focus on the fundamentals. He told us if you have the fundamentals down, you will be winners. He would have us dribble around the gym with our right hand and then with our left hand. He would have us dribble with our eyes closed. He would have us do bounce passes and baseball passes. He taught us how to set screens, and let me tell you, he set a mean screen in his wheelchair. It was impossible to get through. Coach Don also taught us other fundamentals, how to box out for rebounds, how to do right and left-handed layups, the right way to do a jump shot, how to shoot foul shots, and how to press. He even taught us how to do a hook shot, even though nobody does hook shots anymore. Another thing he taught us that was not a fundamental was how to spin the basketball on your finger. Everyone loved doing that. You might ask your parents if they know how to spin a basketball on their finger. If they answer yes, say, "Prove it." The first month of practice was very hard. I wanted to quit. I was not turning out for high school basketball because it took so much time. This church ball was almost as time-consuming. I complained to my friend Randy. He just listened to me, and then he was a good friend to me. He just looked at me and said, "Jeff, I know you are tough, and I know you can do this. Let's have fun together and see what we can do to help this team." After that, I had a better attitude. I am glad that Randy was a good friend to me and helped my attitude when I needed help. That's what good friends do. To play church basketball, we had to have uniforms that matched. The jerseys needed to be the same color and have numbers on them, and not just any numbers. They had to have legal numbers between 0 and 5. They couldn't have the numbers 6 through 9. I thought that was odd. Why do you think they couldn't have the numbers 6 through 9? If you figure it out, let me know. The shorts had to match and be of the same color as the jerseys, and the socks had to match too. The shoes didn't have to match, but everyone wore Converse basketball shoes. This is where we showed our individuality. Some of us had white Converse and the others black. Some of us had high-top Converse and the others had low-top Converse. One of the deacons had Keds. Sometimes we made fun of him for wearing Keds instead of Converse. I have to tell you, this was before Nike. Our basketball shoes cost less than $10 a pair. In the beginning of October, Coach Don told us we needed uniforms and that he was not John Paul Getty. By the way, John Paul Getty was the world's first billionaire. And in 1970, he was the world's richest person. This was a long time ago. Do you know who the world's richest person is now? His name is Elon Musk, and his companies build Teslas and rockets. Back to the story. Coach Don said he was not John Paul Getty as a way to say he didn't have much money and couldn't afford to buy uniforms for us. In fact, he said he was poorer than a church mouse. And I guess that was pretty poor because the richest mouse is still pretty poor. He asked us to ask our parents if they could help with the uniforms. When I asked my dad, your great-grandpa Edward Iring Hill, he got excited and he said he would buy all the uniforms for us. The next week at YMMIA, my dad came with a measuring tape to see how tall everyone was. He wrote everyone's name on a piece of paper, along with how tall each person was, how much they weighed, and what their waist and chest sizes were. Do you know why he did that? You're right. He wanted to get uniforms that fit each of us perfectly. He then ordered uniforms for all 12 of us, plus a matching jersey for Coach Don, plus a jersey for him. He didn't get Coach Don or himself shorts and socks. Dad then made a long-distance phone call to a company in New York that made uniforms and ordered ours with all of the measurements. He had them carefully repeat all the measurements to make sure they got them right. We were elated that the uniforms would be done in November, right before the season started. Wasn't great-grandpa Hill a good man to do that for us? Yes, indeed, he was. Starting toward the end of October, we started working on our regular offense and our fast break offense, as well as the pressing defense. We learned how to set a pick. Do you know what it means to set a pick in basketball? It means you pass the ball to your friend, and then you run over and stand between the person who is guarding your friend and the basket. Then your friend dribbles towards the basket, and the person who is guarding your friend runs into you. Unless there is a switch in the defense, your friend can drive for a basket. Do you know what it means to drive in for a basket? It doesn't mean you get in a car, start it up, and drive in for a basket. It means you run fast toward the basket while you are dribbling. Basketball has all these words you have to know. Do you know what dribble means? It means bouncing the ball with one hand. In basketball, if you're moving with the ball, you have to be dribbling or bouncing the ball with one hand. If you bounce the ball with two hands, it is called double dribble, and you have to give the ball to the other team. You can, however, switch over during a dribble from one hand to the other. Also, you can only stop once. If you are dribbling and then stop, you can't start dribbling again, or else it is also called double dribble, and the other team gets the ball. There are lots of rules in basketball. These are just a few of them. One other rule I will tell you about is that of a technical foul. If you get a technical foul, the other team gets to pick their best free throw shooter to shoot a free throw or two from the free throw line. If the basket is made, you get 1 point. You can get a technical foul for several reasons. If everyone's uniform doesn't match, you get a technical foul. If you swear or shout really loud, you can get a technical foul. If you are angry and push someone, you get 2 technical fouls and you're kicked out of the game. I kind of worried about Coach Don in the swearing part of technical fouls. But that's enough about rules. Let's get on with the story. Our first game was in the first week of December, and we still didn't have our uniforms by the end of November, and we were a little worried about it. Then on a Wednesday evening around Thanksgiving time, my dad, great-grandpa Edward Iring Hill, showed up unexpectedly to our basketball practice at YMMIA. He had a big smile on his face. In fact, I can't remember when he ever before had looked so happy. He asked if he could borrow 3 strong and handsome young men to come with him. Of course, all of us were strong, and all of us seniors were handsome. The Deacons weren't handsome yet. I went with my good friends Randy and Steve with Dad to the school district's station wagon. Dad liked to drive the school district's station wagon because it saved him on the expensive 30 cents a gallon gas. By the way, a station wagon was a regular car that could seat up to 10 people or had a lot of luggage space. Station wagons were what we had before minivans were invented. We went out to the school district station wagon and carried in 4 big cardboard boxes. They were pretty heavy. Can you guess what was in the boxes? You guessed it. Our uniforms were in the boxes. We carried them into the church gym and set them down in front of Coach Don. Impatiently, Dad said, "Open the boxes, for heaven's sake." Randy ripped off the packing tape of the first box and opened it up. We looked in. That box was totally full of beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, fantastic green jerseys. Randy pulled out the first jersey. On it were the numbers 00. On the back, in big letters, were the words Coach Don. Randy took the jersey, looked at Coach Don in the eyes, and handed him the jersey. Coach Don took the jersey, and then guess what? He started crying. I was so surprised. Coach Don was the most crusty person I had ever met. He was a hard man, but now he was crying like a baby. He could hardly breathe. When he settled down, he looked at my dad and mumbled, "This is the nicest thing that anyone
has ever done for me in my whole life. Dad smiled, and I thought I saw a little tear in his eye as well. Sometimes when you do something nice for someone, that person starts to cry. And sometimes it makes you cry. It's a good thing. It feels really good. Dad didn't like to cry, so he looked away and just said, "Let's see what you look like in these uniforms, you guys." I saw that every jersey had a last name on the back and was exactly the right size. The Deacons had small or medium jerseys. The high school players had large or extra large jerseys. And the other two boxes were the shorts, and they matched the jerseys. Each boy, when he had his uniform, went into the little locker room at the back of the restroom by the baptismal font and put on their uniform. Within 5 minutes, all 12 of us were dressed in our uniforms. We were all so excited, and my dad was so happy. You get happy when you do something nice for others. Coach Don looked over. Then he swore, but a nice swear. He said, "Blank, blankety blank, well, you look like champions. Now we need to play like champions." Dad had everyone line up with Coach Don, and he took some pictures with his Polaroid camera. This was 30 years before iPhones were invented. I have those pictures taken on that Polaroid camera somewhere. I was so happy, not only for us, but I was proud of my dad for doing such a nice thing. When you use your money that you have to bless the lives of others, you will be happy. Or as I say, you will claim joy. Like my dad, I hope you will use money that you have to help others. And we were so grateful. I had never been so grateful as I was on that Thanksgiving for those beautiful uniforms. That's all the time we have for tonight. In our next story, I will tell you about our basketball season and our trying with all our might to make it to the All-Church Tournament. Did we make it? Well, you'll just have to listen next week to find out. For now, remember how important it is to be a good friend. A good friend will be with you when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're mad, and even when you're glad. A good friend will have your back in the hard times. And you can have your friends' backs in the hard times as well. And remember to do good things with your money that you have if you want to claim joy in your life. Sweet basketball dreams tonight. I love you. We hope you enjoyed tonight's bedtime story.
We hope you felt our love for you.
And we hope you will have sweet dreams tonight. We love you so much.